morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly thankful to see each and every one that's come out to be with us this morning. And certainly thankful to see some of our members back with us this morning. Certainly good to see Brother Jeff and his family with us and Sister Gail back with us. And certainly good to see Sister Dorothy this morning. And so we're so thankful for all these to come this morning. I'm thankful for the good song leading and the good piano playing, good bass playing by Brother Danny there. And I think Brother Merle, he had requested, since his love came in my heart, and in the chorus there, it tells us there is something I can feel that makes me know that God is real since he gave me this heart of love. And I was thinking while we were singing that, you know, ain't you thankful that we serve a God this morning? He doesn't leave us out in what I call la-la land, you know. He lets us know that we're his. He lets us know. He lets the sinner know that he's lost, and he lets the saved know that he's his. And I'm so thankful this morning that I'm able to stand before you and to proudly claim of a no-so salvation that God gives. And to not only know that I am saved and to know where I'm going after this life, but also knowing that my God is real. And that is a comfort that I just cannot live without this morning. You know, so I'm thankful for that, thankful for the good spirit we're already able to feel this morning. And I just pray that God continues to move amongst his people. I wonder this morning if there might be a praise or anything upon anybody's hearts this morning.
But Mike, I'd certainly be remiss.
I know there's loss in all of our families, you know, and we certainly need to be prayerful for them. That church covenant that we uphold here, I believe it's the middle paragraph. But it tells us that we are to diligently seek out our kindred, the salvation of our kindred and our acquaintances. Not just our family members, but also the people that we work with and the people that we meet on a day-to-day basis. And I know I've said this a time or two, but, you know, if you're a little family circle, if God has saved all of them, you know, praise God for it. That is something to praise God for. But, you know, with us being a member of the Lord's church, you know what that also means? Is that I am to seek out the salvation of your kindred and your acquaintances as much as you are to seek out the salvation of my kindred and my acquaintances. A people whose mission is to lift up Jesus Christ and to see people saved by his grace. That's the great commission Jesus gave, to go into all the world and to teach whatsoever things that I have commanded you, baptizing and making disciples. And so let's be prayerful for this request this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning?
Weather's just getting worse and worse as time goes on, but I just thank God for all the blessings he's given me.
Amen. Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? Anything at all? Anybody just feels like needs to be said or done? If not, let us be mindful of the prayer requests as made mention of this morning. Let us do be mindful of the service, that God would get all honor and glory out of the service, and that the name of Jesus would be lifted up this morning. Let us do be prayerful for Brother Anthony as he comes before us this morning and tries to break the bread of life for us. And let us be prayerful for not only him, that God would give him liberty to preach, but let us be prayerful that God would just open up our hearts to receive his word this morning. But above all, let us be prayerful for those that are lost. If nothing else needs to be said or done, Brother Merle, do you mind leading our hearts in a word of prayer? I just wonder at this time if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts that the Lord just might be compelling them to do this morning before we go any further in the service.
I'd like to try a verse of the song, please.
Okay.
I believe that the preacher has got to have an inspiration to be called
a preacher. Amen.
I believe he needs to study the Bible to get more instruction.
Amen.
For the spiritual part. My mom sang a song years ago and passed it on to me. I don't know, just getting 69 has done it. Maybe I'm living an 89-year-old life, but I feel like I could be going home anytime.
Yeah.
In this body. Listen to the words at least if I can get it. There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages are worn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memory. I can see them sitting round the table when from the family Bible Dad would read. My dear, I can hear my mother softly singing, and I did. Rock of ages, rock of ages, let for me.
Amen.
This old world of ours is full of trouble. This old world would also better be if we found more Bibles on the table. And mother singing, rock of ages, left for me.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Danny. Certainly thankful for the verse of the song this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts? If not, then I would say that it is an honor for me to turn your attention to my father.
Amen.
A man who I love with all my heart. Younger, I wouldn't say that. I hated growing up in church. I tell people a lot that I had a drug problem growing up, and that was because I was drugged to church each time the doors were open. But I'm thankful for it. And the more I grow in the Lord and in His salvation, the more blessed I feel to be able to grow up in the household that I did, where God was the foundation and the cornerstone, and in all things, He would point to me, just follow God.
Amen.
And so I do turn your attention this morning to Elder Anthony Barber.
I'm afraid Micah speaks too highly. I love my children, I love the Lord, but truth is I'm just trying to do what God called me out to do, and I'm no better than anyone else. I make my mistakes just like everybody else does. But I know where my help comes from. And certainly, this morning, I need God's help in all things. And I ask for your prayers, and I'm not one to ask for prayers very often for myself. In many ways, I've always felt that was selfish within me. Because I always feel like what God has led us out to do is to lead others and to pray for others. And I always thought within myself, if I asked for prayer for me, then that was just being selfish and wasn't worthy of them in the first place. But I know the Bible teaches us that we are to let our wants be known one for another and to pray ye one for another. So I ask this morning that you pray for us. I'd asked Micah this morning, we have our different ways about the way we study and things of that nature. And he had said last night as we was at the house, we were playing a game and things of that nature. And he said, we need to quit playing, so Dad needs to go study. And I just kind of looked at him. And Bethany looked at Micah and she said, well, maybe he studies at a different time. Said, he's not like you. Said, maybe he don't have to study, every 5 minutes to a room or things of that nature. And I just kind of smiled. And he said, well, I said it again. Said, maybe dad needs to go study. And I looked at him. I said, what makes you think that I haven't? And then I looked at him. He said, well, you must be one of those that likes to study on Sunday morning. He said, because I remember you doing that as well. Well, what I like is when the Lord gives me the thought. And that's what I call it. And you see, people don't quite understand, unless you've been in this position or unless God has just shown you something at some point in time. Thoughts can come to you from every aspect of life. Amen. And they can enter your heart in many different ways. Well, I've had a thought on my mind and on my heart for a day or so, and I've been studying it out, and this morning I asked Micah, I said, I've got to ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, have you got the people out there at the church yet used to abundance of scriptures coming from different areas? He said, well, he said, they're used to following me wherever. I said, well, that's good. I said, because there's many thoughts this morning. And then he proceeds to tell me, he said, well, that's good. He said, because I told them that when you get there, if it's being this Sunday that you're coming, that they might need to bring a sandwich or something to tide them over before lunch. And I looked at him, I just shook my head. I said, boy, the things that boy would tell on you. Truth being, and I will be honest with you, and I've been very, very hard on myself over the years for different reasons, and I have some friends, some preacher friends of mine that we get together once a month on Saturday night, first Saturday night every month, and we go to a little mission down in Lafayette, and one of the preachers, he oversees that mission down there, and it was all laid on his heart several years ago that tapings need to be made. So we go down there once a month, first Saturday night every month, and if the Lord leads, we preach and we make tapes and we put them on YouTube and things of that nature. And I was down there couple of weekends ago, last Saturday night back, it was. And I had told them down there, I said, looks like tonight we are going to do things a little different. And I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told them. Now, I've heard the wonderful talks this morning, and I enjoyed the spirit of the Lord that's here, and I enjoyed all the talks, and I've heard different things, and I heard people talk about how that God showed them this and God showed them that. I'm the type of person that, I guess Micah kind of gets this after me. I was talking to one of the brothers about it earlier, and I'll go ahead and tell you. I guess Micah gets this after me. Micah's stubborn. Boy, is he stubborn. Now, that he don't get after me, that comes from his mama. But, like me, Micah has to learn things backwards sometimes. the last Saturday night before that got up, the Lord was just really on me. And before I got up to preach, I looked at everybody. I said, y'all pray for me. I said, because some of you don't realize this. I said, but in order for me to learn things, sometimes I have to be taught it from the back end front. And I said, that's the way it is today. The message that the Lord gave me is going to come from the back end to the front. And they just kind of smiled. But that's the way God does me sometimes. He uses the things that I need for me to understand it as well. So that's what I'm going to tell you today. There's going to be several scriptures that we're going to come from today. I don't normally name a sermon, and I won't name one today, but if you have to have a name or something to follow along with, the thought that I'll give you is if you do for God, God will do for you. Now, am I going to call that a name? No, I'm not, because the scripture is going to come around different areas. But that's a thought I want to give to you this morning. Now, I want us to go over, if you would, and we're going to start our reading lesson for just a few moments of time. And we're going to go over to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And y'all have to excuse me when thoughts come to me. I use everything that I can find to mark pages in my Bible. And I got somebody's phone number here. And we have rings at our house on the front and back door. And I've got a card from inside one of those boxes. So you never know what I'm going to use as a bookmark. It's just whatever. So y'all have to excuse me for that. But we're going to come from the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I ask that you be prayerful for us. And the scripture lesson that we're going to take today is actually going to be a very familiar scripture lesson for all of us, or most of us that's been in church throughout the years. And we're going to talk a little bit about this woman who came and anointed Jesus with oil in an alabaster box. Some of you may find, if you go over and look in the book of Luke, you'll find that it's mentioned that her name is, or in the book of Mark, you'll find that it's mentioned that her name is Mary Magdalene. In the book of Luke, you'll find that she's a sinner woman. You'll find here also. But what I want you to understand is as they was in the Pharisee's house, that this woman came unto him, and she brought in an alabaster box. What does this have to do today? We'll explain it here as the Lord allows us in just a moment. We find over there in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the first verse, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for so much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. And with mistakes we may have made in our reading, that's reading the first 10 verses of that 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, as we said, you'll find in the book of Luke that it says that he's in the house of a Pharisee. Here in the book of Matthew, you find that he calls him by name, Simon the leper. But here I want you to understand that's not so much what we want you to understand. We want you to talk with us this morning for just a few moments of time about this woman. And if you run your scripture references, you run over into Mark and over into Luke, you'll find that it's Mary Magdalene that they're talking about. But what I want you to understand here is that she brought in an alabaster box full of oil. And when she anointed Jesus with this, the disciples said within themselves, what a waste this is. What a waste this is. Because she could have done better with this box of oil. She could have taken it. She might not have anything in her name. I don't know. We're not worried about that this morning. What I want you to understand, they said, what a waste this is.
She could have taken it and she could have sold it for so much money, and she could have given that money to the poor or give it to the church and could have done a lot of good things with it. But what I want you to understand today is what she did is she followed her heart and she followed God. What she did with that, now some theologians out there will tell you that she understood that what was fixing to happen to Christ was that he was fixing to be crucified, and that she knew death he was going to have to be anointed with oil in order to keep the smell down. I don't know that. That's just what theologians say. I don't know that they even know that. What I can tell you about that is people try to study in things of the world more than they try to study things of God. But what I do know is that what she done completely and in order the way that God intended for it to be, because she done it from the heart, my friends. She gave her best to God. You do your best for the Lord, and God will do his best for you. Well, you see, sometimes we do things that we might not quite understand why we do it. Have you ever thought about how it is that sometimes you might be just riding down the road and God tell you to stop and go over here and talk to somebody? Have you ever been in a store somewhere, and for whatever reason, something happened there, and God just tell you to help this person out, or God tell you to talk to this person, or just ask them about their salvation, things of this nature. You see, what God is doing is he's leading us in the direction that he wants us to follow, that the world might be able to see and understand that there is a Savior out there who wants to save their soul. There is somebody out there who wants to give them comfort. There is somebody out there who wants them to come unto him. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I happen to know that in my own life that I thought, you know, I've talked to that person several times. It'd just be a waste of my time to have to stop again. See, I tell you, I'm not perfect by any measure. And I know that there's others that thought the same thing. Micah didn't tell you this, but I'll go ahead and tell you this. I told a few of you this morning, there's several reasons why I don't preach with my glasses on. One, I'm blind as a bat. Two, when I don't have my glasses on, I don't have to look at you and I don't have to worry about whether you're agreeing or disagreeing. And three, I can get closer to God that way, because I have to rely upon him. So with that being said, aren't there things that hinder us sometimes that keep us from getting closer to God? What does that have to do with anything? Well, I'm going to tell you what that has to do with this today. Had this woman, had Mary Magdalene, or whatever you want to call her, this sinner woman, or this woman that demons was demons, as you'll find over in I believe it is the book of Mark that calls it that. But either way, what I want you to understand this morning, had she not given what God intended for her to do, it would have stood in her way. Now, we're not supposed to have anything between us and God, are we? If we have something between us and God, then we have the same as an idol God. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what it may be. It doesn't matter if it's ourselves. It doesn't matter if it's our home, if it's our cars, if it's our money. It doesn't matter if it's our friends. If we put anything between us and God, then we've made an idol God between us and God. What did he tell us over there in the book of Deuteronomy? What did he say unto Moses over there? He said unto Moses, and one of the commandments was that thou shalt have no other gods before me, for I am a jealous God. Is that not right? That's what he said. Well, today it looks like we have forgotten a lot of the commandments of God.
We don't, people don't preach about the Ten Commandments much anymore. You know why they don't preach about the Ten Commandments much anymore? I've heard preachers say, well, it's just a waste of time. Nobody's going to listen to me. It's not a waste of time. What it is every one of us have faults, and every one of us know what we do, and they want you to understand God knows what we do, and He knows our faults even before that we do. And friends, what we're afraid of is that the Word of God is going to reprove us and rebuke us, and friends, we're afraid that others are going to find out that we're human. That's what they're going to, what we're afraid of. But you see, God didn't come to save the perfect. He sent His Son to die to save the lost. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means in order to find salvation, you've got to come the right way, and there ain't but one way unto salvation, that's Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible teaches there not one, not but one name under heaven given, wherefore by one shall be saved other than that of Jesus Christ. So friends, today you can't go to the preacher and you can't tell the preacher that I'm a sinner, please save me. You can't go to the deacons or anyone else and shake their hand and say, can you help me here? You can't write a little prayer out to, and repeat it or anything of this nature. And one thing that people, especially in the area where I'm at, they tell me all the time at work, they'll say, when we talk about church and things of this nature, how services went, they'll tell me all the time, well, I paid my tithes, so everything's fine. I want you to understand something. These things are all worldly. The spiritual things is what we are to seek after. And how do we seek after those? By giving all unto God. When you come to God for salvation, if there is anybody that's here that's lost, I want you to understand today, when you come to God, come unto Jesus Christ, you got to come of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. David tells us that God is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart and save as such that be of a contrite spirit. With this we find, my friends, that there has to be some trouble and some understanding that there's a separation and there's something wrong with inside. And when we come unto God, we've got to come in faith and trust and belief, knowing that He'll take care of everything. But what do we have to do? We have to just give it all to Him, don't we? Don't we just have to give it all to Him? Those of you that's been saved through Him by the grace of God, I hope you never forget what salvation's like. And I've heard people on their deathbeds still tell about times when the Lord saved their soul. I've heard, I've been in nursing homes as I've worked in nursing homes in years past, even gone to visit with a preacher and pastor of churches, and I've heard people that couldn't even recall their own family's names because they had Alzheimer's, that could sit there and tell you what God did for them when He saved their soul and give you an account of it from the very second. And why is that? Because they were willing to give everything they had to God. And when they're willing to give everything they got to God, then God's willing to give everything He's got to them. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, we find in the book of Ephesians over there in the second chapter, we find that Paul tells us, my friends, that for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, just to paraphrase, and if you want to go over and read it, you can, but we're going to cut out a few verses for just a second unless the Lord leads us to go read it for you or to complete the paraphrase for you, but what I want you to understand is He says, this is not of yourselves, lest any man should boast, but this is a gift of God. Have you ever thought about that? He says it's a gift of God. Now, in Sunday school this morning, there was some talk about this season that we are upon here, and I believe it was the young lady that was a singing earlier said that here we're about 2 weeks away from what we call Christmas time. And some of them were talking about this morning how that in times past and in days past that, you know, we teach our children that about the gifts and things of that nature. It's not about the physical gifts, friends, and I want you to understand that. The most precious gift that anyone could ever receive is the gift that God has in store for each and every one. And what did Paul say that gift is? He says it's salvation. Amen. It's a gift of God. And what is that gift? It's Jesus Christ Himself. So you do the best you can for God, God will do the best He can for you. What did He do? He gave us the very best He could, didn't He? Amen. What did He give us? He gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God. He is part of the Trinity. They are three, but they work together as one. Now, I want you to look at this from a different perspective. I met this little beautiful little girl over here, because Raylan, I believe her name was this morning. Beautiful little girl. And I think, when I think of my grandkids and I think about my children growing up and I think about these young ones around, I think about the gifts that God gives us with our children. And I want to put this in perspective with you just a little bit more. When we talk about God giving us the very best that it has, you know, Micah and my children are their own person, but they are still part of me. They're still part of me. So what is Jesus Christ? Not only is he the Son of God, but he is God manifest in the flesh. And I want you to understand that today. So what did God do for mankind? He searched and he gave the very best that he had that we might have a way back to him. He gave a part of himself, didn't he? Gave a part of himself. The love of God manifest in the flesh. Now, I want you to understand that today. Why is that? Because when we do the best that we can for God, God will do the best that he can for us. And that's what he gave us as a gift. What greater gift is there to talk to someone about than salvation? Because you see, there's one thing that I want you to understand. The Bible teaches us that there's only one sin that God cannot forgive, and that's the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, or as we call it, the sin of unbelief. That's the only sin that God cannot forgive. Anything else God can forgive, and I talk to people a lot who tell me, now, Brother Barber, you know that ain't so, that God can't forgive gays and God can't forgive murders and things of that nature. I know it is so, because God can forgive if they'll turn their heart to God and ask for forgiveness. Now, I want you to understand something, my friends. The only thing that God cannot forgive is the sin of unbelief or blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, however you want to say it, my friends. And I want you to know today that the reason that God cannot forgive that is because if you can't believe in him, you have no hope anyway. Amen. You have no hope. Well, look at this world today. The sister was talking a while ago about how that these tornadoes had struck and the things that they'd done and how many people lost their lives earlier in Sunday school. Some of them said, I bet I think it was Brother Scott said, I bet they never thought that this was going to be their last day. They thought they had plenty of time. Those that died in the tornadoes and things of this nature. I want you to understand something, friends. We all as humans think that we've got another day, that we've got another promise of tomorrow. We make plans for years and years out. And the truth is, the Bible teaches us that we don't even have the promise of another breath unless God gives it to us. And one of the things that we forget about the most is... We count our blessings. Have you ever heard anybody tell you they count their blessings? Have you ever heard anybody tell you they count their blessings? I'm going to tell you something, friends. You better count your blessings. You better, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you better start counting with every breath. Because every single breath that your body draws is another gift that God has given you. And another blessing. Those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, it's another opportunity to get out there and teach what God has in store for us to teach those that are lost, or to the church, or to others, my friend, that we might bring them to Christ. It's another opportunity for us to show the love of God that is within us to this lost and dying world. Those that are lost, my friends, I want you to understand that gift that God has given you is another opportunity for you to come unto him when that Spirit's drawing you to find him before it's too late, that you might not stay there wide open.
Amen.
And I want you to understand these things today. You see, Michael touched on it just a little bit. I was sitting over there praying, Lord, let him go on, let him go on, let him go on. He touched on it just a little bit for a little while there. And we talked about being a church family. And we talked about how in the middle paragraph there that it says, I will diligently seek after
salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Heavenly blessed, I'm not reading it to you, sir. We're not, but you can read it. Furthermore, diligently say that. All right, let's say. You see, Micah touched on a little bit of that for you, but here I want to expand for you just a little bit. The Bible teaches us that if we've been saved, that we are no longer strangers, but we are kindred. What does he say? He said, therefore, our spirit cry, Abba, Father. And we are adopted through and by the Spirit. Now, that's just a paraphrase. Now, get those two backwards just a little bit. I know that, but let me go with you for just a moment. He says, and if adopted, then heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think about this. If God makes us joint heirs to his own son, then what does joint heirs mean? You can't be an heir to anything unless you're a brother or a sister of that person. Do you know what? I can't be heirs to anything that my family leads if it wasn't for the fact that there was some blood relation there, right? I want you to understand today that when it talks about that we are to diligently seek after the soul salvation of our kindred and acquaintance, it doesn't mean that I need to stop with my children, that I need to stop with my brothers and sisters, that I need to stop with my mom and dad or my uncles and things of this nature. What it means is that God put me in a family that is greater than the physical family here in this world. And because he put me in the family of God, then I have brothers and sisters that are now my family. And that family is part of those that I'm supposed to seek after their salvation for their kindred and their acquaintance as well. And acquaintance, my friend, doesn't even mean that they're blood relation. It just may mean somebody that you come in contact with somewhere.
Right.
You see, we're part of a greater plan. We're going to have no room to stop. And people today, I don't know why I want to put this on there, but we're going to talk about this in just a moment as the Lord lays it upon our heart. As a young preacher many years ago, and I don't consider myself young anymore, and some of you say, well, you're not as old as I am, brother, so you're a lot older than I am. Yeah, I'm in the middle there. I'm well in my 50s, but we won't say how far. What I'll say to that is I don't consider myself a young preacher much anymore because the Lord called me out 30 years ago. Did I start 30 years ago? No, by no means. Why? Because I wasn't wanting it. So I ran for 2 years. Until the Lord showed me one day, he's sitting in the middle of church at Brightontown Missionary Baptist Church, he said, you'll tell it today, and you won't live here. And the last things I remember is I remember God showing me an ambulance coming in, me leaving out on the stretcher, and my wife crying. When I came to myself, there was two women of the church hugging my neck and said, we always knew it. I didn't know what went on. But here's the thing with this. God had greater plans for every one of us. Not just because he called me out to do a job of evangelist or to be a preacher or pastor or anything of that nature. He has plans for every one of us, even the lay members, my friend. And we're all to do that job that God gives us, and we're to do it according to the will of the Father that we might be able to lead the lost unto God.
Amen.
That's our duty. That he gave to the church. You'll remember over there.
And y'all wondering what this has to do with anything, and we'll get to it as the Lord allows us. Y'all bear with us for just a few moments. In the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the latter verses there, and that's the 18th, 19th, and 20th verse, if you want to follow along. In the latter verses you'll find over there, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and now this is Jesus doing the speaking, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now listen, When he gave that commandment to the church, he didn't mean the four walls. When he gave that commandment to the church, he didn't mean the buildings that sat here in Indiana or those in Illinois or those in Kentucky, Tennessee, or wherever. What he meant is every baptized believer that had been saved by the grace of God and baptized into the true church of the living God. My friends, it is our duty to carry out the ordinances that God set before us that we might teach others the things that God intends for them to know. Notice we said intends for them to know. Do you know that it's not meant for everybody to have to sit under a preacher that's stomping and a hollering and a snotting and a slinging tears and things all the time? Sometimes it's just meant for somebody to just say, hey, where do you stand with God? Sometimes it's just meant for somebody to say, have you ever been saved? See, we all have a job to do. And as the church, Paul teaches us over in the book of Ephesians that we all have that job to do. And just to paraphrase, he says that we're fit framely together. In other words, if we do our job correctly and we do it the way God intends, then everything works together the way it should, the way it's supposed to. But if one person isn't doing their job, what happens? Somebody has to pick up the slack, don't they? You ever noticed that? Well, friends, sometimes we all fail on our job just a little bit. And when we do, somebody said something this morning about what was it like, what was heaven in their mind was the blessings and rewards that we would get. You know, sometimes we all fail of our job. And when we do, we miss out on blessings here upon this earth. But we also can miss out on rewards in heaven one day. So again, let's bring this back around as God intends, because as I said, we go backwards sometimes. As God shows us, we go backwards to the front. Let's bring it around just a moment. If you do your best for God, He'll do His best for you. That's the thought. Now, you know what an earworm is? I'm sure most of you older people know what an earworm is or things of that nature. And for those of you that might not know, or those younger, older alike that might not know, what people call an earworm is when you get a song or a phrase or something stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it. Well, I thought I'd been about to go crazy for the last 24 hours. Have you ever heard a song and you're saying, what's this got to do with anything? Bear with me, I beg of you. Have you ever heard a song? Can't not think of the name of the Brian Free, that's who it is, Brian Free Insurance. There's a song that he has out that says, I want to be like that man. Now in that, he's talking about his father and about how his father raised his children and how he raised them to love the Lord and how that he was always willing to follow and listen to what God had said and things of this nature, and how he was strong and willing to stand up whenever God sent him. And that earworm has been with me for about 24 hours. As we were sitting back here in Sunday school, and I apologize to Brother Scott, I apologize to the rest of you that was here during Sunday school. My heart and my mind got to thinking about the things that God was placing upon me, and I had to go in the scriptures and start searching things out. But what I got to noticing over there is as this song kept ringing in my heart and kept ringing and has all this time, I want to be like that man. I want to say, I want to be like that child of God. And let's put it that way this morning. Whether it's male or female. Why? Well, we find that we talked to you about in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. We talked to you about the woman that came and she took this alabaster box and she poured this oil and anointed the feet of Christ there. We find that she did this and she gave everything that she had, as far as we know. We find on over in the book of Luke, you'll find over there, and I believe it's about the eighth chapter over there, You'll find where that Jesus is talking about a woman over there before that he talks about the prodigal son. He talks about a woman over there who she lost a piece of silver. And what did she do? She went and she lit a candle and she swept her house and she continued until she found this piece of silver. And when she found this piece of silver, she called everyone together to celebrate with her. What does that have to do? Many of you are saying that's has to do with the one lost soul being saved and how much the heavens rejoice over that. I understand that that's the way we look at it, but look at it from God's point. From time to time, as he gave it to us this morning, she went looking for the very thing that God intended for her to look for. Have you ever thought about that? She went looking for the very thing that God wanted her to look for. Now, because she looked for it so diligently, she was rewarded, was she not? She found it. Sixth chapter book of Genesis, we find along about the 8th verse over there that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. All right. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of God in a time when this world was so wicked? Because he listened to what God intended. He followed after God. In a time when everybody else, as the Bible teaches us, were giving it and drinking it and being merry and forgetting about God, and there was wickedness all in the earth, and it made God repent of creating man. My friends, he found grace in the eyes of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. How do you do that? You do that by following God and doing the best that you can, no matter what circumstances might arise. We find that Abraham, in his test that God put before him to take his son Isaac and to offer him up as a sacrifice before God, we find that Abraham went all the way. We find that the Bible teaches us over there in the book of Genesis, you'll find that it says that Isaac looked at his father as they went up upon the mount, and he said, "Where is the burnt offering? Where is the ram for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said unto Isaac, he said, "God will provide." Now, I want you to understand that today, because you see what went on. And all of us that know this story, or those that you might not, you can read it over in the book of Genesis. You'll find that what happened is that Abraham went so far as to erect an altar, to place Isaac upon that altar. And he went so far as to draw his dagger. He was willing to sacrifice his son that God had gave him, that God would be pleased. And what happened? We find that God saw the faith of Abraham, and he looked afar off, and there in a thicket was a ram for the offering. He gave the best he had. We find that the Bible teaches us that David was a man after God's own heart, doesn't he? How many people today? How many people today would be willing to face a challenge head on that could overcome them in a heartbeat? And I'm not talking, those of you know the story of David, he was willing to go up against this giant named Goliath. How many people today are willing to face a challenge head on that could overtake them in a heartbeat? Those that truly love God know that if they turn it over to the Lord, it may not be the outcome that they want to see, but it will be God's way. I had a friend who recently passed. Some of you may know him. You may have read it on Facebook, this, that, and the other, and things of this nature. I had a friend who recently passed, this young man by the name of Heath Dotson. He was a pastor of one of our churches, and a very good young man. He had, a few weeks back, he loved to show horses, and the horse flipped on him and fell on him and crushed him, crushed and caused his brain bleeding and cracking his skull and things of this nature. He succumbed to those things. His wife had a little saying in there that she had put, and it was a nice little post that she said, as he was laying in the bed, she was praying unto God, and she kept saying, God, she says, you give him to me, and he's yours, and I know that, but what am I going to do without him? And the last part says, thy will be done. Several times she said this over, and she said, thy will be done. And she said, it's not always easy for your will to be done. She said, but whatever you want, I want you to have. Just to paraphrase. It's not always easy for God to want God's will be done, but that's what we should want. You know, I have people that I love dearly. Friends that go to church, friends from the churches I've pastored in times past and gone, and things of this nature, friends that I work with that'll tell me all the time, well, my daddy's sick, or my mama's sick, or my grandparent, or somebody in the family is sick, or a friend is sick, and there's no hope for them, but I just can't give them up. I don't want them to go. Well, I want you to understand something. The greatest love that we can have for somebody is to let God's will be done. That's the greatest love. To let God's will be done. Why is that? Because what God does, he does perfect.
Amen.
Whether it's our way or not, what we want is still God's way. And there's a purpose and a reason behind it. Well, we all face challenges, don't we? What did David say unto the Israelite army? What did he say unto Saul and the Israelite army when he came before them? Saul had put upon David, he put upon him at the big old heavy armor of his. And David shrugged it off. He said, I've not earned this armor. Goliath said unto David, he said, am I a dog that you send such a ruddy man unto me? You know what David said unto him? He said, I come unto you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. You know what happened there? Boy, he overcame some things, didn't he? God gave the best that he had right then and there, didn't he? He knew that this little ruddy boy could go all the way as long as he had faith and trust, and as long as God was with him. And he gave the best he had. What did he do? He took a little old stone, put it in that sling, he popped it, hit him right in the head, and the giant fell, didn't he? That ain't the end of the story. People say, well, he killed him with that rock. David never killed him with that rock. He knocked him down. You know what he did to prove to them that God was still in control? He did exactly what a warrior was supposed to do. He went and he got upon the chest of Goliath there, and he took Goliath's own dagger and he cut his head off and killed him. Prove to them that God is in control. Just notice how it is. I believe it was one of the brothers said, or it might have been one of the sisters this morning in Sunday school said, you know, sometimes get to studying things about the Bible, and we study things that we hadn't been taught before, but things missionary Baptists don't always talk about. You know, missionary Baptists ain't always said he killed him with that dagger. Do you know that? Some do, some don't. But what's been taught to our children throughout the years is that David killed him with that rock. That rock served a purpose. But it's the faith that David had that served the greater purpose. And that's what I want you to understand today, is that God will do the best that he can for those that are doing the best for God. That faith is what serves the purpose.
Amen.
It's that same faith that we have to have in God to live our daily lives before this lost and dying world, that the lost needs to be able to come to God for salvation. That same faith. Now, women, I ain't going to leave you out. You'll find in the book of Esther
There's a man over there in the book of Esther we'll talk about, but I want you to understand something. Esther had some faith herself. She had some faith herself. She was a godly woman. And we'll talk about Mordecai for just a moment, and you'll find Mordecai did something that most people don't think about today. He buried himself before everybody in the eyes of God. You say, now, brother, I don't remember that. Let me tell you what Mordecai did. You go over to the book of Esther, you'll find that there was a decree that Haman had made, because Haman was so upset. He was the second in line in the kingdom under King Ahasuerus there, and I can't pronounce his name right all the time. I'm country. Those names don't flow off my tongue the way everything else sometimes. But Ahasuerus there had made Haman pretty much second in control of his lands. And Haman thought of himself very highly. So highly that he wanted everybody to bow down before him before when he passed by. And there was this one man that would not bow down to him by the name of Mordecai. And when questioned about it, and this is just to give you a background, when questioned about it, Mordecai said, "Does thou not know that in our law that we are not to bow before any other gods other than God himself, other than the Almighty?" And that's just a paraphrase, give you a little background. Boy, that just kindled a fire in Haman. And what did he do? He went and he plotted to have all the Jews killed because of Mordecai's defiance. Well, you see, during this time, there was a faithful young lady as well that was the niece of Mordecai. That her mother and father was gone, and Mordecai had brought her into his family. And she was a fair young lady. Pretty, if you want to know what that means. And as Ahasuerus was looking for a queen, because his first queen, she kind of, well, let's just say, she didn't find favor in him much anymore. So he was looking for a queen. And Mordecai went unto Esther and told Esther, said, "I want you to go unto the king. And I want you to go unto the court and the maidens. And the king will take you as his wife." He said unto her, he said, "But don't you say anything about your upbringing. Don't you say anything about where you're from." What do we find there? We find, and this is just a little background of this story. It's in the book of Esther if you want to read it. We find that as the trouble that came between Haman and Mordecai there, we find that as Haman had got Ahasuerus tricked into making a decree that all those that don't worship after the same God as he does or doesn't worship after the king must be put to death, we find that what he was talking about is he wanted all of Israel put to death. Well, you see, we find that the Bible teaches us that she kept her mouth shut. She never told Ahasuerus that she was, as he took her for his wife, she never told Ahasuerus that she was a Jew. She kept her mouth shut. You know, it takes faith sometimes to keep your mouth shut. It does. My wife will tell you that I don't have that. And I'll tell you, the older I get, the worse it is sometimes. And my son will tell you that I lost the filter a long time ago. But truth is, it takes faith to keep your mouth shut sometimes. But did you know that there are times in our lives when God puts things before us that we are not supposed to speak about? One of the biggest pet peeves that I have is, and I say this because I don't believe in boasting and I don't believe in pride and things of this nature. And one of the biggest pet peeves that I have is sometimes I'll be at church and somebody will say to me, "Well, did you give any money to the church today? I gave $200 or I gave this. Or did you go give any money to this young man that come in and said he didn't have nothing to eat?" You know, things like, don't brag about it. What God says, he says, "The things thou do in secret, I will reward thee openly."
Don't brag about it. Well, she didn't brag about it, did she? She didn't brag about it. But guess what happened? Haman had got it. He had done decided that he was going to be able to kill them all and he was going to get Mordecai. And just to go on into the latter part, we find that he had decided that since Mordecai would not bow before him and that Mordecai had humiliated him because he thought the king was talking about a good deed that Haman had done and found out that it was something that Mordecai had done and had gone unrewarded for. He told the king about two of his own that was about to kill him. And he had not been rewarded for it. We find that as Ahasuerus went unto Haman, he said unto Haman, he said, what should I do unto the one and reward them for this great deed? And Haman said unto him, he said, give him thy finest ass. He said, put him on the finest ass. Or as a donkey, however you want to say it, but the Bible don't call it donkey. I ain't going to call it donkey. The Bible teaches us, you find over in the book of Revelation, woe unto those that add to or take away from these words. If the Bible don't call it donkey, I'm not going to call it donkey. I'll call it what it is. He said, and put thy robe of scarlet around him and prayed him out through the land that all might be able to see him. And give him thy ring, thy jewel. In other words, make a big to-do about it. Haman thought it was all about him, didn't he? If you've read that book, you'll find Haman thought it was all about him. Boy, when he took unto Ahasuerus looked unto Haman and he said, these things shalt thou do unto Mordecai. He said, take him, put him upon my finest ass, and take him, and put a robe of scarlet upon him, and take him out, and parade him through the town, through the city. Boy, you talk about humiliation. Have you ever been humiliated before? I have. It's a tough pill to swallow. Did you know that? One of the things that we don't like, especially as Christians sometimes, as missionary Baptists, we don't like to be proven that we're wrong. The truth is, if it's not of God, it's wrong in the first place. Let's just be honest about it. Well, what happened there? We find that Esther heard about the decree, and she decided that she knew it was time for her to speak unto the king. But she did it in a subtle way. You see, in this time that Esther decided it was time for her to speak unto King Haman, had already decided, I am tired of Mordecai. I am tired of him not bowing down. I am tired of being humiliated by him. He's caught with his family and his friends, and they said, well, let's kill him. Put him to the gallows. So Haman made a set of gallows out in his own home. Front yard, if you want to call it that. I don't know if it was front yard. It's just in his own home. And had it made 50 cubits high where everybody could see it. And he sought to kill Mordecai because he humiliated. But you see, during this time, we find that what Esther did is she learned about the plot and she learned about what the decree was. And she went unto the king and she said unto Ahasuerus there, she said, in the court, she said, you said that you would give unto me even half of thy kingdom. He said, I did. She said, well, this day, she said, I would like for you and Haman to come and dine. So they did. And we find that while they supped with her, Ahasuerus asked her, said, what is thy bidding, Esther? And she said, I would have that you and Haman would come back tomorrow and dine. So they did. And on the second day, what was revealed there is Esther spoke as it was intended for her to speak. Have you ever heard people tell you, now here not too long ago, I was talking to one of the brothers this morning about it, and here not too long ago, I was with a bunch of preachers, and we were all talking, and one of them said, well, there's a bunch of us in here, said, I guess one of us could start preaching, and I looked, and I said, well, if you led, and another one said, well, I don't feel like preaching, and one of them stood up, and he said unto us all, he said, but didn't Paul tell us in 2 Timothy we're to be instant in season and out of season? And I want you to understand something. When that said that, I turned around, and I looked, and I said, did Paul say that? Yeah, he said that to Timothy. But what we need to know is that that means that we are to be ready through the Spirit of God. If you don't do it by God and on God's time, it's of no good to anybody. Have you ever thought about that? Did you know that if you talk to somebody about their soul salvation and God's not in the matter, you're not doing a bit of good? Did you know that if there's somebody that is seeking God upon an altar somewhere, my friends, and you go up to them and you don't have a thing to say, but you want to talk to them because they're your loved one, or because they're your family's loved one, or just because you want people to say, you know, you're not doing nothing good for them. You need to be led by God. Well, there was a certain time for her to explain to Ahasuerus that she was a Jew and that he had been tricked into killing her people, and that Haman had sought after her uncle to put him to death. Oh, what did that do? That rocked Ahasuerus to the core. And you know what happened there? He had Haman taken out and hanged upon the own gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai. That's what happened. You see, there's a time and a place for everything. And when we do the best that we can for God, God will do the best he can for us. Now, let's bring this to a close as the Lord takes the thoughts away from my heart. If you're here and you've been saved through him by the grace of God, and there's something that God intends for you to do, listen to what he wants done. It may not be a whole lot, but it don't take a whole lot. It just takes a willing soul. And if you're here and you're lost and without God, and God's dealing with you, the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you, now's the time to come unto him. Now's the time to reach out. Do you know the woman had the issue of blood for 13 years and had spent all her living trying to get the doctors to heal her? Do you know that if she had gone at any other time than when Jesus was coming into the city, if she'd gone any other time, that it wouldn't have been the right time? But because she waited, and because when she had heard that Jesus was coming, she went out, and even though the throng was great, she reached out to touch the hem of his garment. And when she did, we found that Jesus turned and he said, virtue has flown from me. There was a right time for it. There's a right time for everything. And friends, if you're lost, the time to seek the Lord is when the Spirit is drawing. And friends, if you're saved, the time to come and do as God intends is when the Spirit is moving. Any other time is not God's time. It's man's time. And we see what happens with man's time, don't we? Look around us. Everything that I hear today, I hear now's the time for us that's been oppressed to stand up and to show this world that we are who we are. Boy, you can't turn on the TV, you can't turn on the radio, you can't walk outside without somebody trying to shove ignorance and sin down your throat. Now's the time, as I like to call it, for the sleeping giant to awaken and stand up as David did before Goliath and stand for God. Now's the time for the church to be moving. And how do we move? by the Spirit of the Lord. When we do our best for God, God will do His best for us. Now, as I said, the thoughts have left my heart. I hope and pray somebody got something out of it. As I said, sometimes the Lord has to show me everything backwards for me to get to the point. But I hope and pray that somebody got something out of it today. If not, I know that I did. And I thank you for allowing me to be here today. I ask that you always, always be prayerful one for another. And I have been completely heartbroken, and my son, and I talked about it once before. I'd gone to a church, and I'll mention no names, not me, mention where it was at. But I'd gone to a church to preach. And in that church, that day, there was asked if there was any prayer requests. I walked out of that church just about in tears because there was prayer requests for my brother's sick, my wife's not here today, so-and-so's in the hospital, but not one person said pray for the lost. That is what we should be doing. Seeking the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. If you don't have anything to pray for, ask God to give you a burden. Micah.
Certainly want to thank the Lord for the good message that we heard this morning. And our soul has been fed. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark, if you want to help her at the piano, and Brother Danny, if you're able to help her at the bass, and let's all just stand for a moment and sing unto the Lord, and let us think about the message that was brought forth before us. So let's all stand at this time.